Hari Om
Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastama Vidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 34, verse 2597, page 58. The devotees develop a taste for rasa simply by a little hearing about the Lord. In these acts of hearing, the strength of rati causes realization of vibhava and other elements. Srila Jiva Goswami. Quote, so there is then no necessity of relishing poetic works for realizing these bhavas. This verse answers, the taste will develop simply by a little hearing. Right? Because otherwise some have the idea that, well, unless you discuss all these different poetic works and this and that to bring about all these things, you know, mundane things, then you're not going to develop these aspects. Does that make sense? Because some actually think like this, that unless you cultivate the material sentiments through material means, then only you'll be qualified to function on the spiritual platform. Because they take it that that comes from this rather than the other way around. So that's what then Jiva Goswami is pointing out, is there's no need. Rupa Goswami made this point, is that you simply hear about the spiritual, it transcends the material and develops the relationship or that rati, that attraction for Krishna. You don't require to cultivate it here. Does that make sense? Because if you cultivate it here, not in connection with Krishna, it's not going to give you any benefit anyway. It's only when it's connected to Krishna you get a benefit for something. Like I can make, someone's very wealthy, they make so much money and all that, but does that mean now they know how to give in charity to Krishna using Krishna service? No, that comes from itself, by engaging in Krishna service. That comes by the association of the devotees. So by hearing, then one develops. Right? So, whatever it is, wherever one has, if one has this material proclivity for engaging in, pleasant activities, nice interactive social activities, but it's only when you connect that to Krishna that they'll give that benefit. Yeah. And what's giving the benefit is not the activity itself, it's the connection to Krishna that's giving the benefit. Yes.
So Maharaj, can we say that bhakti is the primary thing and like poetry or something is secondary?
Yes, it's secondary. So until it's connected to Krishna, it doesn't take on that primary element. You know, it doesn't take that on as a inherent aspect. So the point being is that things have value because of its connection to Krishna. Krishna being the origin of everything, literally. Everything has its natural connection to Krishna. You know, that's what sambandha means, is that Krishna is the center of all relationships. He's the central feature. So, when we see something in context of Krishna, that's when it takes on the Krishna conscious element. If we don't see it in context of Krishna, it's just illusion. And so all it cultivates is illusion. So, even here we hear no necessity of relishing poetic works for realizing these bhavas, that if we don't see them in context of Krishna, it only cultivates that material sense. That's all. It doesn't act outside of that. Yes.
Here it seems that Rupa Goswami said the point that by just hearing we developed, and Jiva Goswami is answering the question that may arise, that then we kick out all these poetic works because it's in inverted quotation.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Because we're saying is that there are people that have this philosophy, like amongst the Sahajiyas, their idea, since we're trying to develop the conjugal rasa, with Krishna, you have to be engaged in conjugal rasa here, yes, on the mundane platform. Mm-hmm. And because of that, so therefore brahmacharis and sannyasis, they won't be able to cultivate it because they're not engaged in conjugal activities. Mm-hmm. So in the same way is that some may say, well, unless you're reading mundane poetics, you know, like let's say reading Shakespeare or mm-hmm. Rabindranath Tagore or something like that, you're not going to develop the finer sentiments to appreciate the transcendental rasa. But Jiva Goswami is pointing out, you know, that it's not necessary. So, you know, that's
it's the other way around.
Huh?
It's the other way around here. It's like he's pointing out, somebody may say, there is no necessity of relishing poetic works. Then he answers, it has its purpose.
You. Yes, but he's saying then there's no necessity, and he's saying, no, it'll develop from this, because someone could say the other way, is that, oh, so there, you know, there's no need, but its point is that's not what develops it anyway. Mm-hmm. It's the point is that it's a connection to Krishna that makes something Krishna conscious. The whole spiritual world is there because it sees everything in the context of Krishna. That's why it's a spiritual world. Material world is the material world because we don't see things connected to Krishna. It's that simple. So the point is we don't need poetics to appreciate Krishna. We just have to hear. But then if we hear, so what we're hearing from the acharyas is poetics connected to Krishna. So that's what's going to develop. So it's not that we don't hear poetry, but it's just we only hear devotional. The material poetry won't necessarily enhance your interest in spiritual poetry. You know, the two don't have any, does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Joy and sorrow rise. Do you understand how? Then there's no necessity. Take that back. What would be the thing? They would think it's necessary. You understand? He's presented it in the negative, but it would be they were thinking that the doubt would be thinking that you need to relish poetic works for appreciating rasa. So then they're saying. So you're saying there's no. It's just. You know, that's the point. Because that's their point. They've made that point. And you're saying, no, it's just by hearing. So you're saying that we don't need this?
Yeah.
You know? And say, no. Because you have to also hear is that he'll be presenting the arguments of gentlemen.
Yes.
You know, not necessarily of the ruffians.
You know. Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Joy and sorrow arise invariably in people who are capable of experiencing joy and sorrow. Poetry and drama are easily appreciated by all. Spiritual taste with deep realization can thus arise through poetry and drama. There are famous examples, such as Hanuman constantly hearing Ramayana, right? Because then it's spiritual. Pariksha's testimony and the expressions of desire of the women of Braja. So they're hearing about Krishna's relationship with others and all those things, and those coming up. Or, even if you're looking at the others, because they've heard about Krishna, then even you're hearing the mundane things, you're going to be remembering about those aspects connected with Krishna, and therefore remembering Krishna. And that's what's great. So it's the connection to Krishna, the remembrance of Krishna that's generating it, not the thing itself.
Yes, yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Quote, because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet, because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.13. Right? So, because he's so absorbed, then these things don't affect him. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.9. Because that takes you beyond, right here. He's in a position of suffering. He's dying in a week. And, you know, they're fasting. So, and not sleeping. Right? So, you know, all things that people are generally not overly enthusiastic about. Right? So, then, the difficulty comes, I mean, so, But by hearing the nectar of the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, then he goes beyond all that. So that's why then it says, so certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are the most munificent, because whatever problems there are in the world, because welfare work means helping someone who has a problem. So the highest welfare is then giving them Krishna consciousness, because then it makes all other problems go away. Because someone's poor, you give money, you solve that problem, right? Someone's, you say, no one cares about them, you give them some attention, then that you're removing. So the point is you're removing the problem. So by hearing Krishna consciousness, it removes all material problems. So it's the best welfare work. Yes.
This is spoken by the gopis.
Yeah, 10:31:9. Okay. Oh, this is in the, when Krishna's gone away. Okay. Then the doubt again. Then without hearing poetic works, one cannot develop realization of the elements of rasa. The answer is given. Among the causes, the strength of rati previously described is the real cause of attaining realization of vibhava and other elements. Tatanu kritau. Because they're saying, oh, see, you're saying, all you have to do is hear about Krishna, yes, and that you'll develop that rati attraction for Krishna. Yes. Then the doubt comes up, so you're saying that we don't have to hear poetry? You know, mundane poetry for that? And then you say, no, you just have to hear about Krishna. And then they give the example. Parikshit Maharaj, all these others, they've heard like that. And then they're saying, what do you mean? Those are poetry. So it's because of the poetry. That's why it comes. This is no. It's because of the strength of its connection to Krishna. That's what's causing it, not the poetry itself.
Yes.
Maharaj, can you confirm the instance of Lord Chaitanya in front of Lord Jagannath at the height of the Ratha Yatra, when he begins to sing what is known as a mundane song that's taken from a Sanskrit poetry, which is not connected to, you know, talks about a young couple who loved each other before and then they were separated. So this is supposed to be a mundane example used to heighten Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies.
No, the point is what is it talking about? Where does the potency for any of these come from? It means the potency of, let's say, the young couple, where does that potency come from? Is it generated from the couple, or it's coming from somewhere else? Right? It means why is it there? Because if it's just generated from the couple, any young couple then would be generating this. But if every young couple was generating it, would it be in the great works? You know what I'm saying? If every couple had that same commitment and affection as Romeo and Juliet, would that be a big thing? You know, it's like going down to the store to buy potatoes. You know, so everybody does it. You don't write, there's no stories about going down to the buying potatoes. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it means it's a rare thing. So it's coming from the universal form. Anything that's being experienced is coming from the universal form. So therefore, that it's working is only because it's in line with. In other words, that poet in writing, somehow or another in the meditation, it was properly in line with the proper attitudes, and then they're able to appreciate this position. Though they're not seeing it in the Krishna conscious or its origin, but they're able to express that. That's how it comes up nowadays. People put in the appropriate effort in their particular mundane field, and by following that the rules of that field, which are Krishna's rules, then Krishna reciprocates with them, because they're just saying, in this case, poetics for them is the supreme. So they're respecting poetics according to the rules properly and putting in the right attitude of devotion. And Krishna, as poetics, the universal form, reciprocates with them, and that they're able to write some interesting poetry. And so the point is its origin anyway is coming from the Lord. And so then if it's saying the right sentiment, then it's spoken. So it doesn't matter. It's the seeing of it in the context of Krishna and that makes it work. So either seeing it on the context of just, you see, the philosophies, how it connects, and then you take it up through there, that the attractive thing in the poetry you know, say someone's very attracted by mundane poetry, but the attraction that's there is actually coming from Krishna.
Yes.
So, therefore, one should turn one's attention to Krishna, not the poetry. It's like that. So then Lord Chaitanya, seeing this in the context of that, then it works. Because it's saying what's being said there.
Right.
Yes.
This verse is actually from Kavya Prakash, which the author dedicates. It's a part of Natya Shastra itself. So okay. It is coming from Natya Shastra, which is originally told by Brahma to Bharat Muni. And also in the poetry like Sahitya Kaumudi, Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that when the implied sense of the meaning is of a higher nature than the literal meaning, then that is called as first-class poetry. So that's the reason Lord Chaitanya is offering first-class poetry to Lord Jagannath by singing that song which has an indirect meaning, which is about Radha Krishna rather than a direct literal meaning.
Mm. Okay. So he's taking the poetry by connecting it, then you bring it to that higher level, because that point of poetry is that if it's so direct, then that's not so, it has some higher meaning than that's there. That's why you see is that sometimes in the modern kind of bohemian aspect, or even non-bohemian, but whatever it is, they're implying something in an indirect meaning, but the thing that they're implying is actually of a lower level.
Yes.
People will take it as poetry because it's indirect, but it's not so it's not first class because it's not implying something higher than the position that it's using.
Yes.
So it's taking a position, let's say, of this young couple and their separation, but implying something higher than that. That makes it first class.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, so let's say someone is using the same poetry. And now the poetry is just talking about this couple, and you know, this nice couple and all that, then it takes on that the next down. It's not first class. But now let's say some guy in this couple, then he's using this to infer something that's a more higher state of relationship than he actually has with the girl he's with. So in other words, they're having this more emotional context that's there in the original mundane poetry. But he's referring to it in the way of just common lust. But he's trying, because it's a feeling, he's taking, well, that's a feeling, and this is a feeling, so therefore they match. So now it takes on the quality of like third class poetry.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So here, as you're seeing, it's just being used in that higher sense, so it can be used. That's what you see, is that we may even take quotations from, you know, well-known personalities and use it in the context of that higher level, so it takes on the quality of high-class poetry.
Yes.
You know? So if it works in the situation, you use it. You know, you wouldn't make it a habit. You know, it's like Prabhupada will sometimes quote from the Bible, but he wouldn't say that you give classes on the Bible. You know? Is that... Yeah.
Depends
on the intent. The intent, yes. But the point is it's that the subtlety that's there. But that subtlety has to be referring to something higher that makes it better. So here it's about spiritual, so that means the higher, and then of that it's Radha and Krishna, then that's higher still, and of that then it's the separation, so it's higher still again, but then it's within that context of their separation, though they're together, and they can't enjoy that, so that takes on the highest.
Is this a quality of a Vaishnava, to be poetic?
Yes, that's why it's one of the qualities, to be poetic, because then it has that subtler meaning. So that's why in the preaching we can be talking about straight Vedanta philosophy, but the words you're using, they can see that there's something higher about it, but they're going to catch it from the context of what is the samskara that they can relate to it, but it has a higher meaning. So that's where it'll catch them and elevate them. So that's the point, is you're still talking something, you're still talking the philosophy, the Uttara Mimamsa, but you may be using an example that the person can relate to. So that then brings it to that point, that's higher, that's the first class poetry. So that's the thing, because we're taking, no, you have to talk the words directly, and so no, you don't. That's just common. Poetry means then it's the meaning is higher than what's being spoken. That's what makes it poetry. So that's why devotees are poets, because they can use all the whatever language and everything and connect everything to Krishna. So that makes them poets. Yeah. 2598. Rati reveals Krishna and things related to him as the shelter of qualities such as sweetness. And Krishna, after being experienced in that way, increases the Rati. So Rati reveals Krishna, and then Krishna then increases the Rati. So it's always this dynamic of relationship, right? Because he's one, but at the same time there's diversity. So the point is the diversity supports the development of that aspect of the oneness. Yes. But the oneness means it has the diversity. Because if Krishna is one, that means everything, all diverse things are him.
Yes.
Right? So all diverse things can reveal him, and he is the cause of all diversity.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. So that basis, then that's true.
This means he's like Krishna and his energy. It's only Krishna and his energy.
That's all, yeah, Krishna and the energies.
Yeah.
So here. So that attraction to Krishna then reveals Krishna. And then Krishna, by that, increases the Rati, so then one appreciates more.
Yes.
It just keeps going like that.
Yes.
2599. Because Rati and other elements mutually reveal each other in this way, it is always seen that the Stai Bhava, Rati, Vibhavas, Anubhavas, Sattvika Bhavas, and Vyabhichari Bhavas clearly assist each other. Okay, so each one makes the other one better. Whichever one is there, whenever the other one comes in, it simply increases it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then, the Stai Bhava is there, the Vibhava comes in, then it's going to increase the experience there. But at the same time, it will increase the Stai Bhava.
Yes.
Which means the next time the Vibhava will be more intense. Mm-hmm. And then that will give rise to the Anubhavas. Right? So the experience gain, that's going to be greater now. You have the Stai Bhava. Then when it comes to Vibhava, then that's more than the Anubhavas, that the results of that are even greater again.
Yes.
So that increases the Stai Bhava. Yeah, because that's the thing. They each nourish each other. Bhakti is independent. So just, because Bhakti is Krishna. So it's just, everything just increases. So, yeah.
So through poetry and dramas, actually, we are performing an imitation of the Anubhavas and the Sancharis. But unless one has the Rati,
Yes. There
is no meaning to all, like, no, it doesn't increase your Rati more, because Vibhavas and Anubhavas only can act as a, like, no?
Yes. Yes, so that's the whole idea, is just by hearing about these, it increases one's attraction to Krishna. So that's the whole thing we're doing, is that we're trying to cultivate this Rati from very little,
Yes. You
know, just enough that we have some faith, up to the platform of prema.
Yes.
So, and that's done by hearing. And we're hearing in the association of the Vaishnavas. We're hearing from the Vaishnava.
Mm-hmm.
So when we hear the Vaishnava dramas, because they're about Krishna,
Yes. Then
it increases that attraction. And by increasing that attraction, then when we hear it, then we get more appreciation. That's why you can take, let's say, a Bhagavatam, verse in purport. You read it. And then at some other time, then you read it, then you'll have other deeper understanding. It can just keep going. Right? Because I have some attraction, so I read it. By reading it, I have more attraction. So then you appreciate more. So Krishna reveals more, then there's more attraction. So that's the thing, is these things are all used as a medium. So you're taking it, the words are there. No, it's the words are the medium. The drama is the medium. The poetry is the medium. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
25100. If there is any deformity in the Vibhava or other elements, the power of Rati is curtailed. Deformity means that there are unsuitable qualities in Vibhava and other elements. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Vibhava here indicates Krishna and the particular devotee of Krishna. Vairupyam means that these elements display unsuitable qualities. Right? Srila Vishnu. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The deformity in the Vibhava here refers to deformity in the person acting out Krishna or the devotee and inappropriate conditions of Krishna. there are irregularities in the persons playing the roles of Radha and Krishna in the drama. Or if Radha is depicted as older than Krishna, Rati becomes restricted, not nourished by these vibhavas. Similarly, when poetic works have such discrepancies, Rati becomes restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So even though you can say it's about Krishna and all that, it still has its natural form. So this is where we were discussing that the point of, you know, what's correct and incorrect. Correct means it's in line with actual Krishna and what happens, and his nature and how he likes things to happen. Incorrect means it's against that.
Yes.
So in other words, the real piety is Krishna consciousness. Impiety means it's not. So in the material world, since you don't have Krishna consciousness, therefore piety and impiety is simply based on what's in line with the laws of nature or not. Right? And then we can say is it even goes to the extent, so that's the natural form, the natural laws. But we can also take it to the point is that it's piety is in line with my mentality. And impiety is not in line with my mentality. So I find other people who agree with my mentality, and then that establishes a community of values. And we'll say that's pious, even though a different community will disagree with that. So they're not taking the universal laws. And so, therefore, then things get out of hand. That's why then we have a standard way of doing things. We can say, well, why do we have to follow the Vedic culture? Because it shows the actual proper piety and how it relates to Krishna. Right? What's the proper standard? But it still is not about the external form. Right? Because someone can say, oh, but she wanted to play Radharani and she's a good actor, she's better than this other girl, even though she's 20 years older than Krishna. You know, but it doesn't matter because it's all about the mood. We don't care about these externals and all these things and that. But you can say all these things. But the point is the acharyas are pointing out when you're dealing with poetics, it still has to have the proper form. That's why there's still laws governing poetics. You can't not follow the rules. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just that's the way it is. So, and that's because Krishna establishes it. So that's the problem. It comes up is that we saw like in the. You know, the point here is that, oh, so you're saying that it's we just have to hear about Krishna and increase rati. You don't need poetics. Oh, so we don't need poetics. He says, no, it's just hearing about Krishna and giving the example of hearing about Krishna. But those are all in the form of poetics, so you need poetics. No, it's the hearing connection to Krishna. So that's the whole point is the connection to Krishna is what's valued. And what's connected to Krishna is what's coming from Krishna. Right? We're not producing the effects around us. It's Krishna's energy from Krishna is producing them. We're working with them. So the point is Krishna being the origin of everything, he then expands everything and we can work with those expansions in relationship with him. He's Atmarama. So on his own, he's completely self-satisfied. Him and his energies, everything just together and not being manifest. He's satisfied. But by expanding his energies and then using those in interaction in context of himself, that increases the ananda.
Mm.
Right? Being ananda, why wouldn't he increase ananda?
Mm.
Right? So we're thinking that the things themselves are what's producing the happiness. Just like if you have money, you'll be happy. If you have a nice house, you'll be happy. Or have a position, you'll be happy. But no, these are things that are used in context of supporting happiness. They don't produce happiness. You know, it's just like Midas was not overly impressed after he got his golden touch. Even though that basically makes him the richest man on the planet. And if anybody doesn't agree, they become one of his golden assets. Right. Yes?
There is a verse in the Bhagavatam about writing being imperfectly composed.
Mm, yes, yes.
Where Biplava was mentioned.
Yes, yes. So its point is the attitude is what's perfect. When that's there, then everything else works. Does that make sense? Because you're seeing as here as these things go, you have the aspect of the you know how you try. In other words, you're trying to do your best in presenting Krishna consciousness. So in this case, if you're performing a drama, you know, then you're presenting the best that you can in that, using the best techniques, the best props, the best, you know, everything. But it's the intent that actually makes it, it's the Krishna consciousness that makes it special. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, these other things, it's just inherent that that's the way it goes. You know, it's just that the parent is older than the child. Right? The mother's older than the child, right? So, let us say, okay, then, you know, this family grows up. And, you know, after time. And then let's say that there's a breakdown in the marriage. Okay? Now, you know, the sons are 30 years old. You know, but father being quite well-to-do and everything, then he somehow or another marries a 20-year-old. It just doesn't work in relationship. You know what I'm saying? So now this 20-year-old is trying to call these 30-year-olds her son. And you're supposed to deal with her as such. But, you know, it just doesn't really work very well. Because poetically, there's just natural forms of rasa. So that's then why it works that way. Is that what it means? You know, that's why no one takes Ant-Man seriously, because he's so small. You know, someone's giving you trouble, Hulk. You know, he's big. You understand? It's natural. That's the whole thing. You know, you're going to do something big and like that. Like Hanuman, he's there. They're on the, you know, the bank of the shore of the ocean there, and he's going to jump the Lanka. So he takes on this huge form, and then he jumps. You know, it matches.
Yeah.
You know, because he's going to do a big work. He's going to make. He's making a jump that no other monkey can make.
Yeah.
You know. So then, taking this big form, it naturally adds to the flavor, adds to the rasa. So there's natural forms that do, and you follow those. It works. You know, people say, oh, that's old hat. We have to do something new and different. You know, have a bad ending and now it'll be fabulous. And then they can't figure out why no one goes to the movie. They make these amazing movies like that. But the ending's bad. Nobody cares. They just drop it. Because poetics means it has a good ending. You know, so that's the whole thing, how it works. It's just like Romeo and Juliet. Which part do they quote? The part just before they stab themselves? Or when they're together? There's a good chance no one can quote the line that each one of them says before they stab themselves. But the lines on, you know, about a rose and, you know, where is the other person and all that. And those ones, then people can quote. Because that's what people are looking for. So that's the whole thing. You can get a taste for other things, yes, but that's just the modes of nature. You know, you get too pessimistic, then you appreciate these other things. You know? So, when it's connected to Krishna, it takes on, it's perfect. So, you know, so like that. It's just how the poetics work.
I have a question about poetry. When we say, like in a Vaishnava tradition, we have many poems who are written in eight stanzas, like samsara.
Yes.
Prayers.
Yes, yes.
So, what are the Vedic way to write poetry?
No, there's different things that you can do. I'm just saying you'd have to look at like these Kavya Shastras and that, to, that they would give the various ways you can do. Like in drama, means in that aspect, then the full form of the drama has 10 acts. But they also have ones with less acts or even a one act. But it's not called a natak. It has a different name. So you have different ways you can do things, and you know, yes, whether it has dance involved or not. Because you can do a drama that doesn't have dance in it, but you can also do it, you know, that has dance in it, or you can do one it's just whole completely through dance.
Yes, yes.
Right. In other words, there's no dance. It's called Hollywood. If it's totally dance, it's called Bharatanatyam. And if it's got both, it's called Bollywood. You understand? So So that's the it's you have all these various mediums, so you have different ways you can do the poetry in that. Because it's like there's one set of songs that Rupa Goswami writes that just has I think four stanzas in it, which is also a standard thing. Like that, or like Jayarada Madhava, it's only two stanzas.
Yes.
Like that. So there's different ways that you can, the poetics have so many varieties of ways you can use. How you use, how to bring out the, you know, what are the alankars, what makes it beautiful, the different things that go. Yes.
I think eight stanzas is more to do with the musical aspect of matching rather than the poetry itself, because poetry deals with the one stanza which contains four lines fully. Like, it's complete in itself, it has its alankaras,
this, No, but I'm saying is that you can also write a song with two stanzas or four stanzas.
Yes. Because eight stanzas is like more because they wanted it to be more like a song than with the music, which tal you play, and one, two, three, eight, The poetic is the one stanza which consists of like the four lines, it's complete in itself, no? Like, it has its own alankaras and how it...
Yes. Yes, so just you have that. Because okay. It's very common, the astakams. But then you also have dasakams, dvadasakams. You know, it's just various ways you can present. It's just options that you have to present. You know, the different meters you can use and that. You know, and there's techniques of how you can mix these. Like in Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, I think someone was telling me that he uses like 500 different meters. But there, you know, means that there are variations within the mean. Like we know the one with eight.
Yes.
But within the eight, there's so many varieties of that. Which ones are emphasized? And so you'll see that even in so a verse may have different of these anastu. Right? Does that make sense? These 8 meters.
Yes.
Eight syllables. And so then what's the order of long and short? Then it'll have a different name. And then in one verse, you might do the first two lines in one, you know, eight syllable meter. But the second half, you'll do in a different one. So all the options of variety of your meters is used in Bhagavatam. Most of them just keep doing, like Ramayana, it's just got one all the way through. Gita basically uses only two. Right? There may be some little variety within there, but it's very minimal. But Bhagavatam uses everything. So even in the main point when we say maturity is that the realization that's being given, but we can also see just in his literary maturity, he's using all the different things within the Bhagavatam.
So, in Bhagavatam, Canto 5, there is not the verses wherein it cannot be sung in a meter, it is to be just read.
That's prose.
Yeah,
so prose also is a way of doing it. It doesn't mean that within the prose you're not having the varieties of alankar. Because you have, you know, using similar syllables or, you know, how the words are done. It can still be in prose and still be poetic. Yeah. 25101. Since the activities of rasa are by nature non-material, they are difficult to understand. The various ratis and other elements create a complete identity between the emotions of the contemporary devotee with previous devotees depicted in scripture. Right. So we have to take this as a very basic, because this is, how you say, Rati 101 here. So this is a fundamental verse here. Srila Jiva Goswami. This type of Rati brings about an identity of the present day devotee with the devotees of previous times. By the attainment of this identity with the previous devotees, bhavas, the condition of rasa will also be similar. So, because you're seeing in the drama, So in performing in this, in the moods they have, it will produce in you the same kind of moods.
Yes.
Right? Even though it's the mood of someone before. Let's say you're doing a drama of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes.
But the person performing the drama and the person seeing the drama, they both take on the mood of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes.
And so by that association.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why, even just by hearing, even though we're not advanced, we still get the benefit.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So that's the whole point, is that, let's say, you know, the example this morning, then there's an aspect of one devotee is doing service for another devotee, but there's an attitude you take, and then by that attitude, then you take on that mood of those great personalities before that were in the same situations.
Yes.
So even though you may not have the qualification, you see it through that perspective, and then that will give more of a proper mood. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah. Three verses, 101 to 103, explain this. Bhavaha here indicates the different types of rati and elements starting with the bhava. It is thus said, the actions of the elements such as vibhava create total identity of the present devotee with the ancient devotee. By that identification, the devotee plunges into the ocean experienced by previous devotees. And there is an awakening of utsaha and other bhavas with an experience identical to that of the ancient devotees. Oh, okay. Now I get it. Switches. No man at all is condemned for entering that ocean. Rati and other elements appear identical to those of the previous devotees. In tasting rati, there is no distinction of vibhava and other elements, of the previous persons and persons of the previous of the present time. That's from Sahitya Darpana 11:14. Yes, so then, see, is that they're explaining these things because you're going on. So even on the mundane, it still has to work the same way the spiritual does because the mechanics are the same. The problem is because the mechanics come from Krishna. So that's why it becomes a problem when we, from here, start to dictate how mechanics work and say how it applies in the spiritual world when it's the other way around. How things function here in reality is dictated by how they work in the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why then these great personalities, then they're somehow or another, by Krishna's grace, empowered to write about it in its proper sense. That's why it's accepted by everyone. And that's why it doesn't change. You know, this book, after, you know, doesn't have to change. You don't have to write a new Sahitya Darpana. You don't have to write a new Natya Shastra because they're correct. But we're seeing it in the context of pure devotion. While the mundane, rasiks are seeing it in the context of, their mundane position. But in any case, because when someone writes, then they're writing about another person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so then, even you say, no, but they've written it about someone in the future. But the point is where are they getting this from? Where are they writing the script from? It's going to be from their experience. Where's their experience? From people in the past.
Yes.
So it's always going to be about someone in the past. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And so because some scars are yours with previous experience, and you can create a new one now by connecting it with the previous one. If you can't connect it to a previous one, it has no meaning. That's why I said, someone who doesn't have emotions can't experience emotion.
Yes.
Right, someone who doesn't have compassion won't experience it.
Yes.
So, because we have these senses of emotions, therefore, then there's that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's what's going on. But the point is we connect it back to the devotees. So either it's directly connected that we see the dramas about devotees, or then we see in the case, you know, the previous verse that's being quoted, it's something from the seemingly material field, but the reason it works is because of the original spiritual entity. If there's not spiritual conjugal ras, there's not material conjugal ras.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a mirror, if you don't have a head, in the mirror there's no head.
Yes.
Right? So that's how it works.
like after writing the Sahitya Darpana, there are other great mundane poets who commented on it. So because there is this absorbing of the qualities of the person they see on the theater, then the question arises, where does the rasa arises from? And then they conclude, it's within the person who is viewing. He superimposes his original rati back to them. So it's all dependent on the audience. And if the audience doesn't have the taste for the drama or anything, he cannot relish anything. So that is the conclusion there.
Yes, but the point is they're still saying that if they don't have it in them. But the point is you can't relate to something, you can only relate to something you have in you. That means the drama itself has to have that element also. So it's the combination between the drama itself, that it's appropriate, the production itself is appropriate, and the audience is appropriate. Yes. You know, so it all goes together.
And then Baldev Vidya Bhushan points out the limitation of their understanding there. He says, but the spiritual doesn't work like that, because the pastimes of the Lord are naturally deploying.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So then so any audience could appreciate
it. Any audience can appreciate it, whether they are aware of it.
Very good. Yeah, very good. That angle is very good. I was looking at it more from the technical. Yeah, but the so Rupa Goswami's point is that just by hearing it will have an effect.
So the spiritual aspect, like performing the pastimes of Lord, it's beneficial whether the person is
appreciates
or not.
Yeah.
He's like dramatical expert. Or
Sometimes if they're dramatical expert, they may not appreciate. That's the problem.
But they can remember.
Yeah, that's good. So that's the thing. It all goes together because it's all Krishna. Krishna is the beginning. He's the middle. He's the end. So it all matches. So, the example of plunging in the ocean is given to show, from the normal perspective, that there should be no fear or shame at accruing for oneself rati and the other elements. And there should be no joy in identifying with others' material emotions. There can be no criticism because of the great achievement. Right? So if you're absorbing yourself in the moods and emotions of the those original, you know, the ancient devotees, by the present, you know, the performance of the present devotees, then that's not a problem. You know, because the point is that ocean of rasa itself is being transcendental. Right? So you could even if the person himself is not a great actor or doesn't have the right attitude, you can still, someone who has that appreciation could still gain from that drama. You know, it's just like, let's say, Srila Prabhupada watching dramas by the devotees. One is they're not necessarily great actors, and two is they're not necessarily on the platform of all those great personalities.
Yes.
But still Prabhupada would appreciate, because it's about Krishna.
Yes.
So, you know, it's always...
He did say, you can only perform if you're a pure devotee.
Yes.
That was a good verse.
Yeah. Yeah, because their intention is pure. They're trying to please Prabhupada. And so that moment, when the drama's over, then, you know, who is the best actor? Now we drop down into a different level with all that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Hearing during a recitation of Ramayana how Hanuman jumped over the ocean, sometimes a sympathetic devotee, absorbed in that mood, giving up all shyness, jumps up amidst the hearers in order to cross the ocean. Or in a drama, sometimes an actor taking the role of Dasharatha, on hearing that Ram went to the forest, absorbed in the mood of Dasharatha, also gives up his life. Like that. Yeah, so that's an actor.
One time performance.
That's why in Natya Shastra it's mentioned, as a rule, you don't perform all these extreme emotions. You get at some level and then cut it on there.
Yeah. Well, they just come up to a point and then go from there. Yeah. You don't have to show more. That's that. In the Vedic things, they just come up to a point. It switches and then it goes into another thing, then it'll switch again. It's just to get the flavor. Well, the modern, they have to go through and this and that, they have to bring out the ball, you know, all this kind of stuff. So what to do? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was, I'm not sure it was a, I'd heard that they're playing the, was it Passion of Christ? That one priest was watching it, and he actually died.
Yeah.
So they get absorbed. Yeah, it's the same kind of principle. So that's why you don't take it that far.
That is rare, but I heard my father say, even in local place, many times the guy who acts as Narasingha, they put some nails which are little sharp, and they really rip apart the body. Twice he said, he saw.
Okay. Yeah. I'll get rubber ones next time. 25102. The ancient sages, having described in the unrestricted identity of the bhavas between the present and the past devotees. Right, so the unrestricted identity, that it moves between the present devotees and the ancient. You're performing a drama or hearing poetry about the ancient devotees, the contemporary devotees then can experience that, because there's no time and space. Right. So that identity that you identify with that and feel that mood and all, that's there. 25103. Bharat Muni has said, in the matter of identification, there is an indescribable power in vibhava and the other elements by which the audience becomes non-different from the characters depicted on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so here's the audience. It's also understood as that the actors, it also takes on that thing.
Yes.
Because of the bhava, not because they are non-different.
Yes, yes.
Because it's the mood that's being presented. That's the thing. You know, that's why, you know, so, yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. According to Bharat Muni's statements, there's a natural difference, but there develops non-difference between oneself and the previous devotees by the shakti of vibhava and other elements. So because it's devotional, it takes on those qualities. It has that shakti. So even if it's mundane, it'll take on the mundane qualities of that. And so, because there's still the how rasa works. And so then if you deal with it properly, then that potency is there. So that's why you try to get all the elements right. And then the thing works out. You know? So that's the whole point, is that's where technique comes in, is that it's being used to as a medium for devotion. But it's not that the technique produces it. It still has to be in pursuance of that higher element. Right? Because they're saying, that's what makes the poetic. So at least they're trying that, their motions and all that. And that, but actually it's the transcendental, that's the real higher. You know, so that's the first class of first class.
Also, there is this aspect that all the sahitya, everything related, like poetry, drama, and all, develops on the three, which is not goodness, passion, ignorance, but it is, as we discussed, sweetness, and then there is the second one is ojas, which is
potency, like that.
And then vigor, sweetness, vigor, and clarity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So. That's why it easily even a person.
Okay, so the clarity is the sambandha.
Yes, how?
Okay, so how clear the relation? Because you have these performances that it's not clear what's going on. Someone's written this really far out, you know, head spacey kind of thing, and you can't figure out what's going on because there's no clarity.
Yes.
You know, or the actors and that don't have that enthusiasm, that endeavor. They don't really put in the endeavor. And so then the vigor is not there. That sweetness is there, the relationships, the rasa.
Mm-hmm.
So very they're good. Functioning at different levels, that makes it easy for even from previous personalities. They imbibe those immediately.
Clarity, vigor, and?
Sweetness.
Okay.
That is the Shakti of Saraswati.
Ah.
Brahma's is goodness, passion, ignorance, how he creates things.
Oh, and then she does it too.
She does through this.
Okay. So the mechanics are goodness, passion, ignorance, and the taste is these three.
Okay,
so tattva and rasa. Okay.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, it comes back around to the same thing, just different angles on it. You know, it's just like we were seeing the six opulence of the Lord. It's described in various ways.
Yes.
So you get a different kind of group, similar but different group of six. Yes. But it's still the same thing, but you're bringing out a different angle. So it has different names.
Okay.
25103. Bharat Muni has said, oh no, we just did that one. 25104. Though previous devotees' suffering appears in the heart of the present devotees as his own suffering, those sufferings also produce an astonishing state of intense bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's about the devotees and the Lord. So therefore, it creates a bliss.
Yes.
Rather than just suffering. Like in the modern, it's suffering, it just creates suffering.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And then afterwards, you can talk about how great, how wonderful the suffering was. But it doesn't create bliss. Right? Yeah. 25105. That is because when the devotee perceives the happiness of others, he gives rise to incomparable bliss in his heart. Srila Jiva Goswami. The two verses, 104 and 105, show another aspect of Rati's incomprehensibility. Taking into account the lack of distinction of self and others, when suffering of others appears, the devotee takes that his own suffering as his own suffering. But when happiness of others appears, the devotee acknowledging it as others' happiness becomes intensely blissful because others are happy. The present verse explains how happiness arises from suffering. Those experiencing suffering will attain incomparable bliss after the dissipation of the suffering, and the present devotee will consequently feel a great bliss as well. When the devotee hears an incident from the mouth of the speaker in condensed form, such as the abduction of Sita, he will enter into the incident while listening to it. If the above statements were not true, it would also not be appropriate to say, Navina Vipra Lambena Sambhoga Pushtitam Pushtim Ashnate. Without separation, the bliss of meeting cannot be nourished.
Yes.
Footnote 31. This is quoted from Sahitya Darpana 251. Which is quoted from somewhere else. Because everybody, there's certain main things and everybody quotes those because they're right. You know? So, as if Prabhu was mentioning, Lord Chaitanya mentioned that, and that's quoting from the Kavya Prakash, which is then coming from, you know, the Natyasha, which is quoted somewhere else. It just keeps going, you know, because it's just written well, so it gets used.
There is this aspect in Indian movies. There was one period of 4 or 5 years where they tried to overstretch this, you know, keeping the suffering. The movie is all about crying, and after 5 years, no more. Like, those kind of movies didn't come.
Yeah, no, they just don't do well. Yeah, because that's the whole point is that there's a purpose. It has to come to the other. So the whole point is just like, you know, something's there, it's not, you know, working and all that. Then two people, they meet each other and this and that, but it's a problem and all that. Then it works out really good. Then it falls apart. Then it gets back together.
Yeah.
So when it gets back together, then it works.
Yeah.
But if you just leave it and it falls apart, then, you know, the art house will appreciate it, but no one else will. So they'll say, no, it's reality. It says, no, but you're looking for happiness. That's why you're watching it. By seeing a bad ending,
yeah,
you become happy.
Yes.
You know, if you became unhappy from the bad ending, you wouldn't watch it. So it's the same thing. It's just that, you know.
So it's the social phenomena at that time. Everybody's facing some suffering. So you go watch a movie, okay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, yeah, that can also work too. They're suffering more than me. I'm doing okay. You know? That can also work. Shri Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur. Two verses describe another facet of Rati's incomprehensibility. Oh no, that we just did.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
Yes.
They're supposed to read. We just finished footnote 31.
So we're on Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur.
Yes.
Now time's up. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.